All right, buckle up, everybody, because today we are going deep, deep into some classic philosophy.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
It is. Aristotle's Metaphysics.
Classic.
Book 2, to be exact.
Nice.
And full disclosure, we're working from a translation here.
Of course.
But even through the, you know, the layers of translation, the ideas are just, they're so powerful, and they really do, they transcend time and language, you know.
Sure.
So our mission, should we choose to accept it?
I do.
Is to figure out what Aristotle believed about truth, how we can even find it. Like, is that even possible?
Good question.
And why should it matter to us, you know, here today?
Yeah, why should we care?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's interesting because these writings are ancient, obviously, but the questions he was asking are still so relevant today.
Oh, absolutely. Like, how do we know anything?
Right.
Like, what are the limits of, like, what we can even understand about the world?
Totally. And he did not shy away from, like, really tackling those questions head on.
No, he did not.
I mean, at one point, he even compares truth to a door that everyone bumps into.
Okay.
So you think, okay, that's simple enough.
Right.
But then he throws in this curveball where he compares our minds to bats' eyes in sunlight.
Hmm.
So it's like, what's going on there?
That's a pretty strong image.
Yeah.
A little humbling.
Yeah.
But I think he's getting at something really deep there, which is like acknowledging the limitations of each of our own perspectives.
Right.
Like we all have our blind spots. We all have our baggage or preconceptions that shape how we see the world.
So are we all just like stumbling around in the dark then?
Kind of, yeah.
Like bats trying to make sense of the world in, you know, broad daylight?
Maybe.
But if that's true, then how can we even begin to understand truth if we're all so limited?
Well, that is where things get really interesting.
Okay, lay it on me.
So Aristotle argues that no one person has the complete picture. Like, truth is a collaborative effort.
Okay.
Think of it like a giant mosaic. Everyone holds just a single tile, a little piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
And it's only by, like, bringing all those pieces together that we can even start to see the full image.
That makes sense.
Yep.
But wait, are you saying, like, that we should listen to everyone's opinion? Even the people that, like, we might think are totally off base?
Yeah.
Doesn't that just lead to, like, a free-for-all where any idea is just as good as any other idea?
That's a good question. And it's a tension that, honestly, philosophers have been debating for, like, centuries.
Sure.
Even Aristotle himself was not afraid to call out a bad argument when he saw one.
Right.
But he also really believed that engaging with different perspectives, even the ones that we disagree with, is crucial for actually refining our own understanding.
So it's not about just blindly accepting everything you hear.
No.
It's more about being open to different viewpoints and like testing them against what you already know and using those interactions to kind of like sharpen your own thinking.
Exactly. And it's fascinating to see how this plays out in the modern world, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Think about Wikipedia.
Okay.
With, like, it's millions of contributors constantly adding and refining information.
Yeah.
It's a real-world example of how collective knowledge can be so much more powerful than any one individual's perspective.
I see what you're saying. And this goes way beyond, like, just facts and information, right?
It totally does.
It's not just about collecting knowledge.
It's about understanding.
It's about understanding the why behind things.
Yeah.
And that's where Aristotle's idea of causes comes in, right?
Exactly. Aristotle believed that to truly understand something, you need to understand its cause.
Okay.
And he had a much broader understanding of what cause even means than we typically use today.
Wait, what do you mean by like a broader understanding? No. Isn't a cause just like what makes something happen?
Aristotle actually identified four different types of causes.
Four.
Four. Material, formal, efficient, and final. Think about it like baking a cake.
Okay, I love cake.
So your ingredients, those are your material cause.
Makes sense.
The recipe, that's your formal cause.
Okay.
Your actual actions of mixing and baking, that's the efficient cause.
Right.
And the final cause, that delicious cake, the enjoyment it brings.
Okay, I'm following you.
So it's not just about what happened, it's also about what it's made of. The blueprint for its creation, the process of putting it all together, and then, like, its ultimate purpose.
It's like looking at something from every angle.
Exactly. And this focus on understanding causes wasn't just about, you know, satisfying our curiosity. It was about getting at the heart of what something truly is.
I can see how that would lead to some pretty deep, like, existential questions.
Definitely.
If you keep asking why about everything, you're bound to run into some big mysteries, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, where did the universe come from? Mm-hmm. What's the meaning of life, the universe, everything?
Big questions.
Yeah. And Aristotle recognized that this search for causes could lead to an infinite regress.
Infinite regress.
Yeah, it's like you ask, what caused that?
Yeah.
And then what caused that cause? And you could just keep going forever.
Whoa. That's a lot.
Right. So how did Aristotle deal with that problem? Did he think there was like an ultimate answer to the why of everything?
That is an excellent question. And that's where we'll pick up in part two of our deep dive.
Welcome back to our deep dive on Aristotle's metaphysics.
Part two.
Last time, I remember we were talking about that infinite regress.
Mm-hmm.
The never-ending chain of whys.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. So did Aristotle think there was like an end point to all that questioning?
He did, actually. He argued that there has to be a starting point.
Yeah.
A first cause that kind of kicks off everything else.
Mm.
He thought that without this ultimate starting point, the universe would just be like an endless chain of causes.
Right.
Which to him just did not make sense.
So it's like a domino effect. You got to have that first push to get the whole chain reaction going. But then wouldn't that lead to some pretty big questions about what that first cause like is.
Yes, of course.
Are we talking about like a god, a divine being, or something else entirely?
You're hitting on a debate that's been going on like literally for centuries.
Well,
Aristotle himself didn't explicitly say like this first cause is God, you know?
Right, right.
But his ideas definitely paved the way for later theological discussions about like where the universe came from and the nature of, you know, a creator.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
It is.
Okay, so we've got truth as this collaborative puzzle, the limits of our own perception, understanding causes, and now this idea of a first cause. It's a lot.
Yeah, Aristotle covered a lot of ground.
He really did. But he didn't stop there, right?
Oh, no, not even close.
He also had, like, a whole lot to say about how we learn and the role of language in that whole process.
Absolutely. So he actually recognized that how people learn is really affected by what they're already used to, their habits, their preferences. He even uses this example of law, saying that sometimes what we believe about the law is actually stronger than what we actually know about
it. That's so true. Like, I know people who need to see a diagram, like a visual representation, to like get a concept.
Visual learners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas other people need to hear like a real life story or something. We all have different learning styles.
Exactly. And Aristotle was super aware of this.
Mm.
He pointed out that some people are drawn to like mathematical explanations. Others need concrete examples, while still others rely on authority figures or even poets.
Interesting.
And he really believed that effective communication requires understanding these differences and tailoring your approach based on who you're talking to.
It's almost like we each speak a different learning language, and sometimes we get like lost in translation.
I love that.
It kind of makes you wonder how many disagreements come from just not communicating very well.
Oh, tons, I'm sure.
Like, what if we're all aiming for the same truth?
Yeah.
But we're coming at it from such different angles that we just end up talking past each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it highlights the importance of being aware of our own biases and preferences, but also being open to different ways of explaining things.
So it's not enough to just have knowledge.
Right.
You also need to know how to, like, share it effectively.
It's true.
It sounds like Aristotle was really ahead of his time in understanding how important communication is.
He really was.
But he didn't just talk about learning in general.
Mm-hmm.
He actually differentiated between types of knowledge, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, what did he mean by that?
So he distinguished between, like, theoretical knowledge, where the aim is to just understand truth for its own sake.
Okay.
And then there's practical knowledge, which is focused on action, like achieving a specific goal.
Uh-huh.
He even hints at a third type, what we might call productive knowledge, which involves creating, making something new.
Okay, I think I get it. So, like, knowing that exercise is good for you.
That would be theoretical.
Theoretical, yeah.
Yes.
Versus actually having the discipline to work out regularly.
Exactly. Practical.
Practical.
And then you've got the productive knowledge of, say, a personal trainer who designs those workout plans or maybe invents new equipment.
Right, right.
So he recognized that these different types of knowledge need different approaches, different methods of inquiry, and lead to totally different outcomes. It impacts how we think about learning and even how we organize knowledge itself. Like, into different fields.
It's like he was creating the blueprints for all the different branches of science and philosophy we have today.
Yeah.
And speaking of science, Aristotle seems to, like, make a distinction between what he calls natural philosophy and other types of knowledge. What's going on there?
So Aristotle was a really sharp observer of nature. He believed that understanding it required a specific approach, different from, say, mathematics or metaphysics.
Okay, so how did he approach natural philosophy? Was he, like, doing experiments like scientists do today?
He might not have had labs or test tubes, but he emphasized careful observation, looking for patterns in nature.
Hmm.
He was all about trying to understand the why behind the stuff he saw around him.
So even though he lived in a very different time, he was already setting the stage for what we now call the scientific method.
Kind of, yeah. It really is remarkable how many modern ideas about science can be traced back to him.
I guess even back then, people were trying to figure out how the world worked.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They were just as curious as we are. And Aristotle's metaphysics offers this amazing glimpse into how one of history's greatest minds tried to tackle these really fundamental questions.
It's more than just a historical artifact, though, right?
Oh, for sure.
His ideas about truth, knowledge, reality, they're still relevant to us. Like, right now.
Absolutely. And that's what makes studying his work so rewarding.
I gotta say, this deep dive has been a real eye-opener.
Good.
It's making me, like, rethink my whole approach to learning.
That's great.
It's not just about absorbing information, you know.
Right.
It's about actually engaging with it, questioning it, looking for connections, and maybe even realizing that I don't have all the answers.
And that's okay.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
Right? It is. For Aristotle, the pursuit of knowledge was an ongoing process, a journey. It never really ends.
And in that journey, like, even our mistakes and disagreements can be valuable.
Oh, absolutely. They can be opportunities to learn and grow.
Well, listeners, get ready, because we are heading into the final stretch of our journey. We'll be wrapping up this deep dive into Aristotle's metaphysics in part 3. We'll connect all these threads and explore what his ideas mean for us today. So stay tuned. All right, welcome back, everyone, for the final part of our deep dive into Aristotle's Metaphysics, Book 2. Man, what a ride this has been.
I know, right?
We've talked about truth as a collaborative puzzle, the limits of how we see things, understanding those causes, the idea of a first cause, all those different ways people learn, even how Aristotle looked at, like, the natural world.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
It is. It's like a crash course in ancient philosophy.
But it's so cool how relevant it still is.
I know, right? Even after all this time, Aristotle is still making us think critically about how we approach, you know, knowledge and understanding.
Totally.
So as we put all these pieces together, what would you say are, like, the key takeaways? What should our listeners really walk away with from metaphysics?
I think one of the biggest things is that truth isn't something, you know, you just trip over.
Right.
It's something you have to actively look for, something we build through, like observation, reasoning, and listening to different perspectives.
The team effort.
Exactly. And it takes humility, curiosity, and, like, a willingness to be open-minded.
That makes sense. And it kind of brings us back to those limitations we were talking about.
Right. Our blind spots, our biases, all that.
Yeah. So it's super important to be willing to listen to others, even when you disagree, to get that fuller picture of reality.
Exactly. And it goes beyond just gathering information from different people. It's about actually doing something with those ideas.
Like what?
Questioning them, testing them.
Yeah.
You know, seeing how they fit with what you already know.
Right. So it's not passive.
Definitely not. It's an active process.
And it's driven by this desire to know the why behind the what. That's where the whole idea of understanding causes comes in.
Exactly.
It's not enough to just look at the world. We've got to go deeper, figure out those underlying principles, those forces that shape reality.
And as we search for those, we bump into the really big questions.
The big ones.
Yeah. The origin of the universe, what is time, even the meaning of life. And remember, Aristotle believed there had to be that starting point.
That first cause.
Right, to kick off that whole chain of causes.
It's a fascinating idea, but it definitely makes you think.
It does.
And it seems like people are still debating that first cause today.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Whether it's religion, science, or philosophy, people are still grappling with that question.
And Aristotle didn't give us a concrete answer about what that first cause is, but his work encourages us to keep asking those big questions.
Absolutely.
To keep searching for a deeper understanding of the universe and where we fit into it all.
Exactly.
So, wow, we covered a lot.
We did. From truth being a team effort to understanding those causes to the very essence of what's real, what do you think Aristotle would say about our world today? All this technology, all this information.
Ooh, good question. Do you think he'd be excited about how far we've come?
I think he'd be, like, fascinated and maybe a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He'd love all the progress we've made in science and technology. You know, how we can look deep into space and figure out the secrets of the human body.
Right.
But I also think he'd worry about all that information becoming too much.
Like information overload.
Exactly. Like we could get so lost in the data that we lose sight of those big questions.
The ones about truth and meaning.
Yeah. We almost need to, like, rediscover how important critical thinking is.
Especially now when there's just so much information out there.
Exactly. Aristotle reminds us that real knowledge isn't just about collecting facts.
It's more than that.
It's about engaging with ideas, being open to different views, and always refining how we understand the world.
It's about, like, the journey of learning.
And knowing that truth is a process, not a destination.
So one last thought for our listeners. If Aristotle could give us one piece of advice, what do you think it would be?
Keep asking questions. Don't ever stop.
Never stop learning.
And remember, finding truth is a team sport. We're in this together. And on that journey, we discover incredible things about ourselves and the universe.
I like that. Well said. So to everyone listening, stay curious, keep exploring, and don't be afraid to ask those big why questions. Maybe you'll even find that door of truth Aristotle was talking about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep searching for knowledge and keep searching for meaning.